This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of the award-winning Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2018 for your mobile devices. If you want to know what Out of the Park Baseball and Franchise Hockey Manager are all about, it's so easy. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, our amazing community management team of TJ Lowerman, Chris Jardine, and Adam Burnett, they live stream on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/OOTPDevelopments, every Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, around 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern. Check them out. They're always doing lots of interesting stuff. They're running some franchises. They're doing community tournaments, all sorts of great stuff. And, of course, if you can't make it when those things are live, that's fine. We put everything on our YouTube page. So much great stuff for you to check out and interact with. You know, just join the community. We're having a lot of fun. It's Out of the Park Baseball 19, the award-winning game on the PC. You can get it from Steam. You can get it right from us at OTP Developments. You can get it on Origin Access. And if you are a Origin Access subscriber, you can just go play it right now. Out of the Park Baseball 19, of course, Franchise Hockey Manager 4. It's also available on Steam or right from OTP Developments. Check it out. Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, MLB Manager 2018. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
All right, well, this is Pastor Padre Brian Weedy, and I have a special guest with us. He was previously suspended from the show, but he's back now. He served his time. You are Rich Grisham. Rich, did you enjoy your time off?
I did. It's good to be a special guest on the show. I'm glad to be back. We have had our legal team settle our differences. We're not allowed to discuss them, and here we are. Everything is good.
Yeah, everything is under an NDA. But I will say that I definitely won the negotiation. That's
okay.
I mean,
I don't really want to air all our dirty laundry here. You know,
I'm sure the tables will be turned at some point in the future.
No doubt.
And you will get your revenge.
True. You know it. It's absolutely.
In the meantime, Rich, you weren't here, so I'm assuming you spent time playing some sports games, maybe other games. What have you been doing?
Well, a bunch of stuff. I actually want to start. I mean, Pro Evolution 2019 is out, and it's the game that I'm going to spend a bit of time talking about in a little while. Not that I haven't spent lots of time talking about its predecessors the last few years, because I have. But I did want to mention that I completed my baseball season on MLB The Show. And so, as you know, Brian, I played a full 162-game season, most of it. Over 90, probably closer to 95% of the games while on the treadmill. I was the New York Mets. I just took the opening day rosters and went with it. I'm not looking to do a multi-year franchise, not looking to really do anything, but I wanted to play a full season. 162 games. And again, almost all of this on the treadmill. And I finished the regular season in the second wild card spot. So I just got into the playoffs. I finished 14 or 15 games behind the Nationals. The Mets pitching staff, as you would imagine, top heavy with DeGrom and Syndergaard, both pitched well. Offense was light. Unlike the real Mets, I had Yoenis Cespedes for the whole season. In fact, as everybody who listens to the show knows, the way that I play the game is to player lock on Yoenis Cespedes for his first three at-bats, and then after his third at-bat, unlock the rest of the game to play it in whatever situation it is, whether I'm tied up or down. It's just a really fun thing to do. So he was a lot of the offense, but Jay Bruce had a nice year. I know Cespedes finished with 99 RBI in the regular season. And I think like 20 homers, but he was big on the doubles, had over 40 doubles.
Was that all you?
Virtually. I mean, there were probably a few at-bats here and there where, like, I think a couple of games I player-locked on Michael Conforto instead of Cespedes, but we're talking of the probably 550 to 600 at-bats, I know I took 90% of them and maybe even more. So, but I mean, that speaks to something, right? I had 99 RBI, 20 home runs. Like Cespedes, that's a pretty good year for him. So I did pretty well for him. But, I mean, nobody had 100 RBI. Nobody had 30 home runs. Jay Bruce, like I said, like 24 homers, 84 RBI. But the team was built around the pitching. And unlike the real world Mets, the fake world Mets pitching had injuries. Different guys were injured, but DeGrom was not injured. Syndergaard was not injured. Steven Matz was not injured. Chris Wheeler was not injured. Actually, Wheeler was injured. He was out for a couple of months. So I finished, as I mentioned, in the second wild card spot. In the wild card game, I played the whole game. And got a Jake DeGrom shutout win on the road in San Francisco. 3-0 was the final. I had a home run as Cespedes, as a matter of fact, and won that game. So then I went into the division series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I went back to the on the treadmill. Oh, the wild card game I did not play on the treadmill. I played on my couch. But for the playoffs, regular, I went back onto the treadmill. First round division series, beat the Dodgers 3-1. Had no real problems with them. Kershaw pitched twice. I won both of those games. I didn't like bomb him or anything, but just got enough and had great pitching. Some of which was me and some of which was not me, because the first five or six innings are simulated. In the National League Championship Series, I played the Washington Nationals. Got ahead 2-1 in the National League Championship Series, and then proceeded to lose the next three and got bounced from the playoffs by the Nationals. And that's the end of the season. That's it. It's all done.
Yeah.
And that's it for me and MLB The Show this year. I'm done. You know, I had a nice 175 or so games. I walked almost 50 miles on the treadmill. You know, I did a little bit of the math. You know, I average two games per treadmill session. And that's 23 minutes average per game. You know, factoring in a few of the games where I only got one game in because of extra innings, because some of those games, even though I unlock it in the sixth, you know, might go to the 13th or 14th. That happened a half a dozen times. As well as factoring in the half a dozen times that I played on the couch or something like that. But, you know, over 95% of the games are on the treadmill. So I had a good time. I walked almost 50 miles. But, you know, unsatisfying. A unsatisfying finish. Would have been nice to win. Would have been nice to at least make the World Series. You know, losing the National League, or losing either the American League or the National League Championship Series, is a particularly difficult way to end a baseball season. Because you don't get the pennant, right? Making the World Series, it's like, you know, making the Super Bowl or making the Stanley Cup Finals. Making it is a big deal, making the Final Four. You know, it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's a banner. It's a championship of sort. So losing in the NLCS, not my favorite way to end a baseball season, Brian Weedy.
Yeah, but you outlasted all but two teams. I mean, that's still an accomplishment. I understand, like, the suddenness of it. It's over.
I didn't think it was going to happen. I really thought I was going to win. Like, when the game, even when I was down, like, the last game, I think I lost, like, 5-2. And, you know, in the seventh and the eighth and the ninth inning and seventh, I'm going to get a run here. Like, I'm going to scrape together enough, and I'm going to figure out a way to do this. Like, I really thought that I was going to overcome until, like, there was about one out in the ninth, and I'm still down by three. I'm like, wow. This is it. I'm going to lose. It's going to end. And I can't see a situation where I will ever turn that game on again, right? We got the fall sports upon us, you know, and that's a good segue once we're done with this, talking about what I played next. So, you know, I got my money's worth from MLB The Show. Didn't play a minute of Diamond Dynasty. Didn't play a minute of online. Literally all I did was import the latest rosters from the Operation Sports site and hit start season, simmed the entire spring training, and just started game one player locked. That was my entire experience with MLB The Show. And I'm cool with that. I am totally cool with that.
Yeah, you were able to avoid most of the problems people had with this year's game. Now, with that, you spent all that time that you committed to a full season. Are you going to, with MLB The Show 19, continue that franchise, or do you just start all over?
Start all over.
Hmm.
I'm a hypocrite. Like, well, not a hypocrite. That's not true. Well, it might be. But my point is, you know, we used to talk about how awesome it was that you could carry that stuff forward. And when MLB The Show sort of did that, we hailed it as a breakthrough. Turns out I have never used it, nor will I, because I think part of the fun of getting the new baseball game is starting the new thing. Now, I also, have been way off the road to the show mode for years, because, and this is not only to MLB The Show. I don't play the single player modes in really any of the games. I'm much more about the team and the realistic, authentic, in arena, on ice, on the field experience as a team and playing a team game. I don't like the NHL be the one or no, what's the NHL be a pro. I don't like that. I don't even, you know, it's funny. I played a bit of the original, the Journey from FIFA, but I'm not interested in playing FIFA as a single player. I love playing FIFA and Pro Evolution, for that matter, as the full team. So, you know, between the fact that, you know, Road to the Show for me was the same thing for a long time, you know, I've been out on it for a while, and the fact that my tastes do not gravitate towards being that single player, you know, that's just, if I had been a Road to the Show guy, I probably would have imported my guy and kept him going forward. But I have never felt the desire to take a franchise or a season and bring it forward.
Yeah, I always want to start fresh too. There's a number of reasons for that, but it's a nice option to have, but I don't get the sense, and you don't see other games offering it either, which is kind of curious. I think they don't want people, well, they want everybody to start from scratch to spend money. That's the key to that. And the thing is, if the show was to do something really generous, they would let you carry over a dynasty team or something like that, but it's not going to happen.
Not over carry it over, but like, do they keep going? Like, can I go back 5 years, to Madden and still turn it on and play Ultimate Team and spend
If the servers are still on, you should be able to. What you're not going to find is a healthy marketplace for trading cards or selling or buying cards. You're not going to find a whole lot of that.
Right.
And you're also not going to be able to play. You're not going to have the user base to play people online with your teams. You can probably still do all the offline solos and things of that nature and build your team that way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it takes out a lot of the elements. Like, really, that's one of the keys to the Ultimate Teams, is that they are only relevant for their 1 year, and then everybody moves over to the next game and everybody starts together from the bottom, and then that's how they generate their money. It's getting people to build their team from the low to the high. And it's just like when you look at NBA 2K, they're not going to let you carry over your career mode, your character, because they want you to start at 60 overall and potentially spend money every year to get your player up just to a point where they're actually fun to play with.
Yeah.
NHL, you mentioned, Rich, it's out on EA Access. You're going to spend some time playing it?
I am literally, Brian, as we speak, downloading it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoyed last year's NHL. Enjoyed it more than I had in the last couple of years. I think some of that was sparked by the 4K TV Xbox One X/PS4 Pro upgrade, because just like everything, NHL sure does look nice on the 4K TV Xbox One X. It really does. So I am excited to play NHL. I know our friend Snagglejay, Chris Jardine, and Mills Gaming TV were both tweeting a lot about that today as well, their excitement. So I'm looking forward to it very much. 10 hours is a nice chunk of time to be able to play it through EA Access, which is how I'm downloading it. I have a feeling I'll wind up purchasing it. I can't guarantee it. It goes in the vault pretty early on, but that's a long time between playing the first 10 hours and then waiting for the vault. So, unless something strange happens, I have a feeling I'm going to play. And again, we talked about this, right, Brian? Another reason that I'm a little more positive towards the NHL series right now is that my team is good. Again, the Devils have been really bad the last few years. Last year, not only did they make the playoffs for the first time in years, but they had Taylor Hall win the MVP trophy, the Art Ross, the Art Ross trophy, I think, right? I think that's what it is. And so that's exciting, right? So, and again, as a guy who pretty much only plays as my team in a season moving forward, that's something also to add a little bit more of a reason to play it.
Yeah, I think. In the same respect, Rich, I need the Seattle team to get here before I really get passionate about the NHL game. But it looks like it's shaping up to be pretty good this year, and it's coming off a decent year. So they got the potential to do some good things. And it looks like the initial reactions to EA Access so far are pretty positive. What are you going to actually buy out of this group of games that are coming out here in September, really?
Well, I have already bought Pro Evolution, which we'll talk about. I'm going to get Forza, and you're probably not including this, but I'm going to get Forza Horizon 4 as part of the game.
We don't have to buy it. Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to get that, which is nice. What are my options? I'm going to buy NBA 2K. So I'm going to buy that. I've downloaded the demo I haven't started the clock on my 10 hours of NBA Live EA Access. Stuff on that, but
I wouldn't bother if I were you with NBA Live.
Okay.
I think it's not a very good game this year. And it's not an NBA game. I've said this a few times with how they're building it. It's not an NBA game anymore. It's a single player street / your own personal court game, which it has its unique, characteristics, obviously. And I think there's things there that people are going to enjoy about it. And NBA Live, just on its own, it's a more accessible game than NBA 2K. But I mean, franchise mode's still really a joke. And they didn't do a whole lot with Ultimate Team either, which is kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty disappointed with the game this year. And I don't know if there's anything NBA Live's going to offer you, especially with a poor franchise.
Did you review NBA Live for Sporting?
No, I've been thinking about it. I don't know if I have the motivation to do it. I don't feel enthusiastic about it. I don't feel like it's a bad game. I don't think it's an NBA game. And it's obviously it's presented itself as an NBA game. It's weird. It's in this weird spot where I don't really know how to judge it because of that. I don't like it. I don't like the direction necessarily. We've talked about the need for them to do their own thing, and
right.
I think
They have to differentiate themselves.
At $60, it doesn't offer enough. I mean, NBA 2K has like 8 times the content, and it's more refined, and it's I played the Prelude after playing. Yeah, we'll get to it, Rich. Hang on.
Okay.
I played NBA Live some, and then I played the Prelude, it just kind of clicked with me that, man, I don't even want to go back to play NBA Live. And I'm someone who used to prefer NBA Live. Of course, we're talking about almost a decade ago now, but I always liked the direction that they went with it. Accessibility of it, kind of being centered more on fun factor, being easier to play and just enjoy, and some of the online back then, and anyways, the online with EA was a whole lot better than 2K. But I played the Prelude, and then I just which essentially you're playing as one character, and in NBA Live the majority of what you're going to do is play as one character. So I played the Prelude and liked it a lot more than I liked the Prelude or my career the last couple years. And so it just really put in perspective that I did not like what NBA Live is offering right now.
I loved the Prelude. I thought it was spectacular. And again, we're talking relatively speaking. For what the Prelude was, it was terrific. I thought I was very impressed with everything. I was impressed with the scenario playing in China, and having the Chinese announcers.
That was cool.
That was great. That was great. Yeah. It was completely different and new. Like, what a great idea. Whoseever idea that was, great idea to do that. And then, and not only to do it, but to do it that way, right? They could have. Now, I didn't play this on the treadmill, so I was actually listening to the commentary, which is funny. I'm listening to commentary where it's in a language I can't understand. You know, but they could have said, oh, you know, this is Kevin Harlan and the crew, you know, on the China tour, right? But no, they went ahead and got what I presume are real Chinese announcers who recorded a bunch of the dialogue. I liked the whole story. You know, I thought it was, first of all, the production values, spectacular. You know, like when your character's at the draft and having that conversation with the guy, and like that was just really good. Like I'm sure it was on the Dodcast, but I was remarking, I'm actually also playing Uncharted 3, Brian. You know, sort of a little bit of a throwback and playing.
You're a few years behind. Yeah.
The facial animations and the way that the characters interacted. Granted, this was a game from a long time ago, but it's still really good. You know, as far, you know, a lot of times, you know, characters' faces interacting with each other is not good in most games because it's really, really, really hard. Probably one of the hardest things to do. But anyway, I remember talking about that. This is just really impressive interactions between human beings in different settings, in locker rooms and in press conferences and in conversations on the court. Just really good production values. You know, the on-court basketball play was way too easy. Because there's no way that I'm that good at NBA 2K to where I could take this guy and do the stuff that I was doing with him. I was a power forward, kind of went the direction you did, Brian. Like, you went power forward, right?
I did.
Yeah, and so I went power forward and went for sort of a not a stretch four guy, but more of a, you know, inside scorer, rebounder, passer guy. Mm-hmm. And just dominated and, you know, scored 18, 20 points, got 6, 8, 10 rebounds, you know, and spoilers for the prelude. Are you okay if we just go full spoilers for the prelude? Can we do that?
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for the prelude. So when you go to China, like you have to go to China because you thought you were going to get drafted, but you didn't. So you get a
look, keep in mind, this is only like the first hour this. Yep. So, yeah.
Yep. So. Then you go to China, and in the game you play, I think, three games, right? There's like a regular season game or a couple different regular season games, and then you find out that this NBA All-Star team is coming to China.
Exhibition, yeah.
Right, for an exhibition, and you know, it's an opportunity for you to get on tape and get in front of some people, and you know, I dominated that game too, scored over 20 points, and that was my goal, to do that, you know, and so, like, the on-court, I'm sure they made it so
easy. Did you win? Did your team beat the NBA players?
No, we lost. We lost.
We did. We won.
Oh, you did? Yeah, we were ahead early. We were ahead by, like, 12 or 15 early, and then I got put on the bench. When I came back in, we were down by 10, and we never got close again.
Mm.
So I didn't know if it was possible to win. That's cool that you did.
Yeah, we beat them by 2 or 3, something like that. Nice. And so it's close at the end. It was pretty cool. I imagine that the thing was built to account for both outcomes, and, you know, basically just treated it as if, wow, you guys gained respect or whatever, you know, regardless of whether you won or lost, it really didn't matter.
Right. And then after the game, as I was saying, like, the gameplay, like, I'm not that good at NBA 2K. So they I'm sure they dialed the difficulty way down, just way down. Because, you know, they're like, I take any of those shots in any NBA 2K game, you know, contested shots in the lane up against somebody, you know, I'm
especially
never
especially with shots. Your guy rated 60
exactly.
overall.
Exactly. That's
so
my point.
I believe I didn't look for it. I believe that you can change the difficulty level in my career. Actually, I know you can. I don't know if it was possible in the prelude. It probably was. But if you do that, you'll also earn extra VC. You're obviously going to, you know, perform. You're going to have more of a struggle performing to earn VC, but they give you a multiplier, basically,
gotcha.
So that you're not punishing yourself too much by going up.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I dominated, and that's completely unrealistic. But that's fine because it's a demo and they want me to buy the game.
Yeah, who cares?
And you know what? Yeah. They succeeded because after I played that game and then I had a meeting with my coach, the Chinese coach, you know, which and it just there was a series of, I thought, pretty good moments. But and another good moment where you sort of come in and your translator's next to you. He's like, hey, coach wants to see you. And then you go meet the coach and he's talking and he's being translated. And then you say a few things and the coach responds in English.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, wait, do you understand English? Yes. You've understood me the whole time. Yes. Even that time when I, and then he pauses or trails off and the coach says, yes. He's like, oh boy, sorry about that. Just really funny. That was really good. And then you cut to the scene where you're off to Los Angeles and that's where the prelude ends. I thought it was fantastic, Brian. I loved it. I thought it was great. Like really good production values, really smart, interesting approach, really entertaining. And super fun and purposely, inviting to people by being relatively easy to play on the court. I thought it was spectacular. Loved it.
Did you like the little retro NBA 2K?
Yeah. Oh, I was terrible at that. I could not get the hang of it until
late. Yeah, they had kind of a older control scheme with it meant to... You know, it was not, like I said in the last episode, it wasn't a true emulation of like the original NBA 2K game, but they pixelated the graphics and they made you play with an older control scheme. So,
and Brian, yeah. They had the real guys from back then. They must have had to have licensed all those guys because
they were just classic, a classic Celtics team and a classic Rockets team. Not even
already in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, either way, that was cool. Like playing as people from a different era. I thought that was really cool, but I couldn't get the hang of it until too late. That was my only problem with that. I was like, wow, this is legit. Like at first I didn't even think it was real. I'm like, oh my God, I'm really controlling all this stuff. It's crazy. That was, again, really fun, original. I mean, that I thought was so cool. So good.
I thought the writing was toned down a little bit, like you said, and we've always had the gripes, or at least I have. I know you never seem too bothered by it, but like they didn't really have super annoying characters involved like last year.
I think they're coming based on the trailer.
Oh, maybe.
I think they're coming, but.
Oh, yeah, we do. We haven't even gotten to see a few of them.
Right.
Our social media manager.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that could be the case. But at least you can skip through that crap now if you want. You can skip through the cutscenes.
I just don't know what, you know, you saw the comment from Rob Jones that got published on gamesindustry.biz, right? I'm sure. Did you see that?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Okay, so Rob Jones gave an interview to an outlet, and at one point he basically said, if he was quoted accurately... He was basically quoted as saying that microtransactions are an unfortunate reality of, and I think he said sports video games, or he might have just said video games. But either way, I'm probably paraphrasing, but it was the kind of thing that got picked up. In addition, he said, you know, you're trying to find the right balance between. You know, not people not feeling like they're getting ripped off and being able to make, you know, enough money for your game. All completely legitimate things. Like, I didn't take it as a negative. I took it as him being completely honest and transparent. Obviously, this being the internet, some people had different opinions about that. But regardless, my concern, as always with this, is I'm now excited to continue my story. But if I get in there and my guy is terrible and like a couple, two or three years ago, the grind to get any, to make any progress is so difficult, I'm going to be turned off by that. So my worry is that, like, I'm excited for the story. I want to see what happens now that I've landed in Los Angeles. What do I have to do? I have no problem playing games. And as has happened in the past, I have no problem playing some games and earning some some VC the quote unquote right way, but it not if it's out like last year, yep. right? You know, last year's game was clearly was not balanced in a way that many people thought was fair.
Right. So this is the issue with the microtransactions with the VC in 2K is it's not that it's there, it's that it influenced the game design in a negative way. So they specifically go out of their way to start you super low. And so it hasn't in context, it hasn't made a lot of sense either. So it depending on the story, right, at least this time you're not starting in the NBA. When you start in the NBA and you're 60 rated, that's absurd, you know, especially when the announcers are talking about you being a superstar and right. you're starting and you're right. averaging, you know, it was just not, it didn't make much sense. And they forced you to have a player that, like I said earlier, that was fun to play with. You either had to grind and not enjoy that time you were putting in or right. spend money.
Right.
So what they said they've done this year is made it a little easier to maybe you earn a little more VC. They added different ways to earn VC, like some of these little mini games in the neighborhood, things like that. It remains to be seen whether that's enough. I mean, that's something that I'll have to evaluate for my review and something I'll have to monitor, because look, my experience is not necessarily going to be the same as everybody's. Last year we learned that people were super unsatisfied with it, but we didn't know that on day one.
Right.
It's gonna take some time to see where people, how they feel about it, whether they course corrected enough or at all, right. really. Because they did not, like, I wondered going into the release of NBA 2K19, would they ever address the VC thing? Like, the VC thing was a big deal last year. It was caught up not only just because of NBA 2K, but everything else in the world of video games that yes. was, at the time, it was the hot topic. And NBA 2K, it even affected their reviews. We talked about how it was the lowest reviewed NBA 2K game in a decade.
Although that trend started 2 or 3 weeks later, as opposed to out of the game.
Oh, right. Of course. I mean, as I explained last year, I reviewed it with the kind of understanding that consumers had accepted the practices. Right. You know, in previous years, nobody right. had really spoken up about it. And or they were just indifferent to it, right? At that point, you either accepted it or you were indifferent to it and you avoided it or whatever. And then we found out, no, you know, this is a bigger deal for a lot of people now. We didn't know that. Like, I could not predict that would happen. Like, I couldn't review the game and give it a 6 because what I thought people would be upset about it, and then nobody would be upset about it. But yeah, you saw some reviews like a 3 out of 10 or something from one outlet for NBA 2K, like 2 or 3 weeks after release. Right. So, I mean, it's easy to jump on afterwards with that kind of thing.
Right. But conversely, you know, it sold more than ever. It generated more revenue than ever. I played it a ton and loved what I played. And what I played was my GM, which was completely not touched by VC. And that's great.
That's the only way you can escape. You can escape my league.
Good.
No, I'm not saying that's a bad thing either, but it is the only way. 2K is infected by VC in more ways than any of the other sports games, which isolate it to a single mode, essentially, in all the EA games and in the show, which is mostly Diamond. There are some microtransactions but you totally do not need them anywhere else. So
conversely, their franchise mode or their multiple My GM modes, because there are multiple, or My League modes, are deeper than any other similar offerings from any of the other sports games.
Yeah, but and it's is there a correlation close. There? I don't think it's necessarily because of that, though, right? Because EA is making hundreds of millions on Ultimate Team. If they wanted to invest in a better franchise mode for Madden or NBA Live, well, let's leave NBA Live out of this. I don't know if they want to invest much in that regardless. But if they wanted to make Madden's franchise mode as good as NBA 2K's, they could. It's not like they aren't generating the revenue to do that. Of course, they're looking at the returns and saying, well, if we invest this in franchise mode, we're not going to get it back. And whereas 2K, I think they know they have to invest in those areas, because if not, they're going to lose people because it's too much everywhere else. So I think they had to balance things differently because they spread it out a little more.
All I'm saying, right, is, and I think you and I just come from different schools of thought, relatively speaking, on this. All I'm saying is that their franchise modes, and I put that in plural, their franchise modes that are not impacted whatsoever by VC are deeper and better and online than they're deeper and better than any other sports game out there, and they are online. So if you are a traditional sports gaming fan like me, that's really good, and nobody else really does that. FIFA doesn't invest in its version of that as much, and as you said, Madden doesn't appear to. MLB The Show doesn't.
Pro Evolution doesn't.
Pro Evolution like, doesn't. You're right.
Oh.
You're right. We're being
look. NBA 2K
here.
NBA 2K
should get a ton of credit for the amazing franchise. Amazing. And I'm talking, in my opinion, right, with no math to back it up, an exponentially better experience because you have the story-driven sort of my GM thing going on.
They've got three franchise modes By splitting in my GM, they essentially got three different franchise experiences.
And some of them are completely customizable that you could put historic leagues together based upon any parameters you want. Like options that are so above and beyond what anybody else offers you, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so while I do not, and this whole story with the single player mode, which I don't play really in any other game anyway, if it appears to me early on like it's not balanced right, I am out super fast. However, if I can enjoy it just by playing it, a few games at a time and improve, I will likely be in because the story around it looks like it's going to be really fun. And so that's where I am with it. Like, I'm definitely buying the game. I think this conversation started with, what are you buying? I'm buying NBA 2K. I bought Pro Evo. For all the well-deserved criticism NBA 2K gets for VC, I think it also bears saying that their franchise mode, which is not touched by VC, is much better. And every year gets much better, too. They've added a ton more this time, right? They haven't rested on their laurels. So that deserves a lot of credit, in my opinion.
So what else
am I buying, right? Is that it?
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
What else is there? So I'm going to try NHL for 10 hours and then probably buy it. Going to buy NBA 2K. Not buying NBA Live, at least right now. May not even try
I would also say
FIFA.
NBA. I'm definitely buying NBA FIFA. NBA Live. You're going to be able to get it for cheaper not long after release, right? They already gave people an opportunity to buy it for $40 or even a little less than that. They have to release the game at $60. It's required. But as we saw with last year's NBA Live, the price was down quick. I think it was within a couple weeks that it was back down to $40. And then a couple months later, you can get it for $5. There's no need. I mean, the NBA season doesn't even start for over a month. There's no need to spend $60 on NBA Live right now.
Right. And NBA 2K is coming out soon, but I don't know if I'll get it day one because of Pro Evo and Spider-Man, which is coming out. I want to check that out. And I'm buying FIFA because I like FIFA. I like FIFA a lot, a whole lot. And I don't mind playing two soccer games on a regular basis. I actually enjoy that. So that's what I'm definitely buying.
All right, yeah. So tell me more about Pro Evolution Soccer, Rich, because you were not on the show last week. I talked a little bit about my experience with it, which is that
I was happy.
It plays as well as you would ever expect. It's fantastic on the pitch. I feel a little deflated about the product. Overall, it feels to me like the feature set is a little flat, and the licensing is just more detrimental now than I remember it being. And I can't attribute that only to Champions League. It's just, I looked through the list of clubs and I did not recognize the vast majority of them. And maybe it's always been that way, but it seemed worse than I remembered it.
So I'm going to start off by saying that I love Pro Evolution 2019, what I've played. Love it. It looks beautiful. Again, I'm playing it on a PlayStation 4 Pro through a 4K TV. It looks crisp and clear and bright, and it plays so nicely. The players move so smoothly and they act so intelligently. And based upon the different tactics that you very easily set up, the players do what you're supposed to, what you would hope that they would do a lot of times. I have so much fewer errant passes than FIFA, for example. Like in FIFA, I'm not trying to pass to the guy that I wind up passing to a lot more often than I do in Pro Evolution. Conversely, through balls are not as good, or I don't have as much success with through balls in Pro Evo as I do with FIFA. Pro Evo, again, just running around on the pitch, controlling the different players, feels really, really, really good. I've played, I don't know, a dozen games or so. I decided early on, Brian, to spend the 16 minutes to go to the internet and download the kits and the competition names from PES World, downloaded them onto a USB stick, and then imported them from the USB stick onto the PS4 Pro. You can't do this on the Xbox, so I had to do it. I bought it on my PlayStation 4, and had a couple of technical difficulties, and then for whatever reason, I don't know if I'm the only one in the world who has this problem, but when I, you know, I downloaded the files and unzipped them and did exactly what I was supposed to do with the instructions said, and then, you know, put them in the folder, the WEPES folder. If you extract all of, you know, if you get the zip file and extract all the files into the folder WEPES, and then you put it into the PlayStation and you go to the edit part of the menu, it recognizes that there's stuff there when you go to the import data and stuff like that. But for whatever reason, there were not these duplicate file names, but for every file name, like the name of the club or the crest of the club or the jersey or whatever, there were not duplicates, but one had a dot in front of it and was in lowercase, and the other was in uppercase. And, you know, just following the instructions, it didn't mention anything about that. It just said go select all and then import. And then every time I hit select all and import, it just stopped right after the beginning. It's like, oh, could not import the dot, you know, .eng_Burnley dot whatever file. So I tried it a couple times, and then I was like, you know what? Let me just go only select the ones that don't have the dot in front of them. So I had to go, you know, tap, you know, I had to tap down twice with the D-pad and then hit the square. Tap, tap, square through all of the English league and the Italian league and the Spanish league and not the German league. The German league stuff isn't in there, which I thought was weird. And all those. And then once I only selected the files that didn't have the dot in front of it, then they all imported well. I have no idea what that's all about. Bizarre, strange. I'm sure I did something wrong when I downloaded and extracted the files. But eventually, once I figured that out, weird little thing out, I got all the kits and the competition names. So now when I go in and I started my league with Everton, it was the Premier League and all of the clubs were correct and the competitions were right and you know, the Champions League and the Europa League and the FA Cup and the Italian League and the Spanish League and the French League. It had all the right leagues and all the logos of competitions and everything was great. So 16 minutes was what it took to do all of that, even with all the issues. That helps a ton, a ton. I'm not the world's biggest international football fan, but I am much more aware of it than I was 5-10 years ago. And I follow the competitions much more than I ever did, especially I'm a legit fan of the Premier League. I watch games every weekend. I am aware of the Spanish League, right? I sort of have an idea what's going on there, at least, you know, with the Barcelona and the Real Madrid and the Atletico Madrid. I sort of know who's in first, second, and third because it's always one of those three, you know, and so on. But I'm no expert by any stretch of the imagination. But it helps a lot. So between the gameplay and getting the kits in, I started my season with Everton. That's what I do. The Master League, that's my thing. And I go in, and it offers me the chance to, you know, after I create myself, Rich Grisham as the manager offers me the chance to play in a preseason tournament, the International Champions Cup. So I actually do that, and I wind up winning it. So I'm three matches in, and I've won a preseason tournament. I'm feeling great. I start the Premier League, lose the first match, draw the second match, lose the third match. I'm like, okay, I'm not as good as I thought, and I'm
brought back down to earth.
And then so now I got a transfer window, and this is right before we started the show. It's when I went into the transfer window. So my goal wasn't I thought I was going to win a lot, so I wasn't going to have to do a whole lot in the initial start of the season transfer window. But after I basically got, you know, 2 points out of my first three games, I quickly, as I got to the transfer, the end of the transfer window, quickly went to scouting, which works really nice. Like, it's very easy to say, scouting, go in England. And I, you know, I looked at my starting 11, and I saw that I had, like, a guy rated below 80 starting on my left wing and a guy rated below 80 starting or like, at 80 on my right wing. And so I just quickly scouted in England, said, find me a good left wing forward and a right wing forward. And then, you know, a cycle ahead a couple of days right on the final transfer day, it found a couple of guys and I negotiated with them and I signed them. But I had to sell one of my guys before I could sign the other guy. So this was all happening and it was really easy to do. And I wound up signing Thomas Lemar, who's French from Atletico Madrid, which is really cool. And then I also signed another guy, Moses. So I got two guys and I sold one. I had now I've got both of my guys on the right wing are like one of them's an 84 and one's an 83. And now I'm heading in. So I was able to improve my team and in a way that made sense to me and was relatively easy. And it had to fit under the budget, which is why I had to sell a guy. Like, you know, sort of understanding how much money you have to work with, and it is really easy, so they do a nice job. So I've had a really good time doing that, and I'm ready to sort of to try with my slightly remade club. And then depending upon what happens, you know, between now and the second transfer window in like January, hopefully I can start winning some matches. I hope I can at least, you know, win a side competition or something. Basically, what I do in the first year of Pro Evo, I usually get three complete seasons in. In the first year, I try to I won't usually win the league in the first year. I'm not my team usually isn't good enough, but I'll try to at least finish in the top four so I can make the Champions League and maybe try to win an FA Cup or something like that so I can make some extra money and then really buy a bunch of players and sell a few off for the second year to make a run at the league title. And then like the third year after making a whole lot more money and just, you know, have basically an all-star club that goes to win the treble. I didn't win the treble this past year because I lost in the final of the Champions League, but I won the league and the FA Cup. So anyway, I'm remaking my team. It's relatively easy to do by downloading the kits gives it it makes it so much better with the names of the clubs and the jerseys on and the crests and the correct, you know, sponsors on the front. Just it reduces that unpleasantness, Brian, of not having the licenses a lot. The biggest sort of thing that really stands out to me that's the sort of the bummer are the stadiums, because the English league just has no stadiums. There's no real stadiums or there might be like one. I think maybe Liverpool or maybe Manchester United. I don't even know.
Yeah, there's a handful of clubs they partnered with to make sure they got all those authentic things in.
And FIFA, you know, one of the great things about FIFA is playing in all of the real stadiums in the Premier League. And that's sort of that's an unpleasant, because it's not so much you're not playing in the real stadiums. It's the fact that you're basically playing in the same rotation of like four or five stadiums at the most every game. So you don't have one of the cool things in FIFA is every match feels a little bit different because you are playing in a different, if you're not playing at home, right? It's very different to play at the Olympic Stadium when you're playing Tottenham, or
and the atmosphere along exactly. with it, not just the building, but
exactly.
the atmosphere.
Exactly. So that's the one thing. So it's not. I mean, look, I've already bought the game. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play at least 3 full seasons. I'm even thinking, Brian, of trying their version of Ultimate Team, whatever it is, just to give it a.
You might like it. I think because it doesn't use packs. It uses like scouts. It's essentially going to work the same in the end as far as you luck into players or not. But I think it might be more up, more your pace than an Ultimate Team. So I'd be curious if you even just start up the team and play a couple and see what you think.
I usually have a hard time just getting started, like just hitting the button and then trying.
Oh, it's a lot of tutorial stuff to start with, too.
I usually can't get past that. So really enjoying the game overall. On the pitch, on the field, wow, it plays like a dream. It's just so beautiful to watch in action. A couple of little things. I love the new subs menu. I don't know if you noticed it, but when you want to do subs, you just tap the Madden timeout button, the giant button on the PS4 controller, whatever that giant touchpad thing is. You just tap it, and it brings up in the left corner just a picture of your guys and how tired they are, and you just sort of cycle through them and find the guy and hit the button, and on you go. Just it's a really subtle touch, but the new substitution menu is great. Love it. I mean, it is such a nice addition to the in-game play. The only thing I don't like about it is basically at every stoppage of play, the little icon comes up.
I noticed that.
There's no reason. Well, not no reason. It's silly to bring up the subs menu 4 minutes into the match.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's dumb. But around the 55 to 60 to 65 minute mark, when that thing pops up,
makes sense.
You tap on it, and then you see, oh my gosh, that guy's exhausted, or like tonight, like when in one of the games that I lost, Gylfi Sigurdsson, my one of my forwards, just he missed the and I don't put this on me, I put this on him. He had a great shot right from the stripe, and he put it like a yard wide when I was down 1-0. That would have really been nice to get that goal. And then he also then had a bad turnover like 2 minutes later. So then the sub menu came on, I tapped it, saw Sigurdsson, and said, you're out of there. So it makes it easy. If you're a little ticked off at a guy, he's like, you're gone. I'm bringing Balassi in for you, Sigurdsson.
There you go.
I like that. That's. I also want to mention, I was wondering a couple weeks ago whether they would have the correct rosters. And the answer is, I did the live update when I bought it. And I bought it digitally, by the way, Brian, because that's how I'm going to pretty much buy everything else from now on, at least new. I'm doing a little bit of retro game purchasing, going physical for stuff like the GameCube and things like that before. But I'm going to be almost all digital moving forward, I think. So I bought this digitally and then did the live update. And the Everton roster was pretty much perfect with what their up-to-date roster is, which was not the case at all last year. So that was another nice little thing. They did a nice job with the live updates on the rosters, because they're pretty much man for man right with Everton. So overall, I'm delighted with Pro Evolution. I'm so happy it came out a month before FIFA.
Oh, that's great.
This last week. It's such a nice thing, because soccer's being played right now, Brian. The Premier League started like 3 weeks ago. It's the international break this weekend, but that's okay. Like, soccer is happening. People are talking about it. It's good. Like, this is a really great time for Pro Evo to come out. As we've talked about 100 million times, I have no idea why FIFA waits for so long. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
The big gap between FIFA and Pro Evo, hopefully it helps them out. I don't know if it will. I certainly like it from a personal standpoint. I think it's great.
What else are you looking at playing here in the next month, Rich? Because obviously time is a limited commodity,
yes.
Particularly with all the games that are coming out.
And all the traveling you're doing. Like, there's, I do a ton of traveling. So during the week, 3 or 4 days a week, I'm not getting to play these games. I'm only getting to play them when I'm home on the treadmill or, a couple hours here and there on the weekends. Like, it's not like I got 10 hours a day playing these games.
Yeah. So besides NBA 2K, which I'm looking forward to, I should, by the time this podcast out, I should have it. I've got a couple other games, non-sports games, on my radar, which has been a few and far between in recent months. Spider-Man.
Yes,
which,
I'm excited.
Which I had pre-ordered when Amazon still had the 20% off, and now that the 20% off is gone, Sony once again stocks their games with Amazon, so that's a good thing. And then I have, a week later, I have Tomb Raider. So two games that are... The type of game I tend to enjoy, kind of more adventure-y type, and not necessarily the open world type of games, and ultra violent necessarily. It can be, but I like. Well, Tomb Raider is ultra violent. Now let's say that Spider-Man is not. That's more of a cartoony thing. But
yeah, Spider-Man's T, and evidently there's no blood. So I'm not only am I going to get that, but
no puddles of blood. We needed the Puddlegate.
Right. No, not concerned about that. But my everybody knows I'm not a comic book guy in any way, and my son is not a comic book guy. It's just not our thing. But I'm gonna get it, and I think I'm gonna let my son check it out, because again, I'm blessed, right? I've got this beautiful 4K TV. I got a PS4 Pro. This thing is purpose made for the PlayStation 4 Pro, so you're gonna be
The only disappointing thing to me is I don't have a PS4 Pro. I have an Xbox One X, and I've come to prefer everything on Xbox, and the Spider-Man's a PlayStation exclusive. And then I'll have Tomb Raider on Xbox, so
I'm gonna get Spider-Man digitally. And I'll probably let my son play it. And it'll be interesting to see whether he enjoys it or not. I mean, I've played Spider-Man games in the past. There was an amazing Spider-Man game that came out a few years ago that was really silly. I had fun playing it, even though the game itself wasn't particularly good. This is obviously going to be the opposite. You know, it is the tentpole game for Sony. They've invested tons of resources in it, and all indications are that it's going to be really, really, really good. So
I tend to like Insomniac games also. Yes. Sunset Overdrive was one of, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, maybe it was 2016, one of my favorite games of that year. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then, most of the games in the future, though, that are coming, the Call of Duties, the Battlefield 5s, I couldn't care less about those, though.
Yeah, I'm not.
Or even Red Dead. Red Dead, I don't have interest in spending hours riding a horse to get from place to place.
I'm pretty sure that's...
You know what I mean? Like, that's why I didn't like the last one.
Yeah, I Red Dead Redemption was two games for me. I played it up until Mexico. Then I sort of got bogged down in Mexico, and then I probably took like 4, 5, or 6 months off, and then I went back to it and then finished it. Red Dead's going to be interesting for me. Knowing me, I'm very likely that, the day that it comes out, I'll wind up hitting the purchase button. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as hyped for that as a lot of other people are. But chances are that I'll play it. But I'm not going to sit here and say that, it's a definite day one for me. I know I'll play it. I finished, obviously, Red Dead Redemption. I don't know. You know what it is, Brian? It might sound silly, and I do play violent video games. But, just gritty, nasty violence is not the top of my list of things I want to do. And again, mm-hmm. I'm a hypocrite because I'm playing Far Cry 5 right now. I was chatting about it the past week.
Sure.
But it's gritty. It's just, I'm playing through did you play Far Cry 5 at all?
No, it the one before that I started playing, and it was just not
right
my type of game.
So I'm playing, there's basically three main sections of this amazing map in Montana. And I played through the first one, which is the character John Seed, and I did not like the story or anything like that. But the gameplay was fun enough to where I at least did it. But then I took a break from it. But then I went in and I'm playing a different section, which is the Faith area. And it's a much cooler, like, story and the interactions with her and stuff like that. And I've gotten to the point where I basically, for what I do for the most part, is fly around in this amazing helicopter and win my missions that way by just, you know, doing all sorts of cool, crazy stuff. And it's just a really wildly crazy experience. Whereas Red Dead and is much more of a gritty, quote unquote, realistic, violent, nasty kind of a thing. And I don't know. Again, I'm hypocritical because I do play violent video games, but I'm, you know, just the more sort of realistic and gritty and nasty it is, the less that just these days I really feel like dealing with that. I'm just, I don't know. It's hard to describe. I'm going to play it, I'm sure, but I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait for Red Dead. I'm in day one. I'll probably buy it day one and I'll probably start playing it because I'm going to want to be part of the conversation, but I don't know. I'll be interested. It'll be interesting to see what I do with Red Dead.
All right, Rich. Well, it was great getting to catch up with you again, because who knows, you may be suspended next week.
Possible.
Yeah. So thank you, Rich Gresham. Thank you to everybody out there. We'll be back with another episode of the Press Roll Podcast next week. Take care till then.